you doing this work to facilitate growth or to become famous? Which is more important, getting or letting go?
What's up? Welcome back, Sideline Story. It's your boy JB, and I'm back with another podcast for you guys today. I know I ain't been really putting up podcasts like that, but of course we hasn't had much sports. Now we got the best sport in the world back in action. I'm loving every minute of it, and we've had some great games and great performances and some shockers while the bubble has gone on for the NBA. Today, I will go through and do my league awards, and then I also do some bubble awards that I saw as well. Also do predictions for each team. Go ahead and go by how each team is playing now and everything like that. Then my next podcast, I'll come back with my playoff predictions for each series that will come, because by then, of course, we'll have each seeding and all that good nature. So today, first, I'm going to start off with my league awards. The NBA released their finalists, of course. For the MVP, of course, you got LeBron, Giannis, and James Harden as the three finalists. Each guy is respectable of getting this award. A lot of people think Giannis is going to get it. Me, personally, I think LeBron should get the award. LeBron comes in averaging 25, 10, and 8 for the Lakers and has them in the first place in the Western Conference. And as tough as they are, that's tough to get into at age 35 and his 17 year in the league. Of course, we know back when LeBron was in the Eastern Conference, it was always LeBron's in the East. He doesn't deserve MVP because he's in the East. Well, now LeBron is doing the same thing, got his team number one in the West. So how can we not give him this award? So that's my personal opinion for the MVP. Defense Player of the Year, the finalists are Giannis again, Anthony Davis, and Rudy Gobert. My Defensive Player of the Year, I have to go with Anthony Davis. He's come into Los Angeles and made their defensive numbers so much better this year. He's the anchor of that defense. He can guard 1-5. He switches on point guards all the time. And he makes a big impact on the team defensively. So I just feel like he can win that award for me personally. Most Improved, you got Bam Adebayo, Luka Doncic, and Brandon Ingram. My Most Improved player is Brandon Ingram. Ingram showed signs of him being able to produce like this in L.A. I felt like he just needed a new scenery, and that's what New Orleans gave him. Playing alongside LeBron really didn't give him his way to produce the way he could. Ingram went from playing alongside LeBron and now an all-star in New Orleans. He's averaging 24 points per game this season for the Pelicans, who were in the playoff push for the eighth seed until they were eliminated just a couple days ago in the bubble. One thing I will say, I feel like a guy who got snubbed on being on this list is Charlotte Hornets point guard Devontae Graham. Graham went from averaging 4 points and 2 assists last season to now averaging 18 points and 7.5 assists this season for the NBA. We saw Luka put up 20 points a game last year. I mean, now he is averaging 29, but I feel like that the 4 points to 18 points is a bigger growth for Devontae Graham than it is for Luka Doncic. So that's how my opinion on that should go. For Rookie of the Year, you got Ja Morant, of course, Kendrick Nunn from the Heat, and Zion Williamson from the Pelicans. This award should be unanimous. In my opinion, Ja Morant has made Memphis relevant again. He's proved to been electrifying for the Grizzlies and had them in the eighth seed. Now they're in the playoff push tie with Portland, Phoenix, and the Spurs for that eighth spot. So we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be tough for Ja to get in that eighth spot. He may get in a nice seed, but with the injury to his sidekick, Jaren Jackson, it's going to be tough for them to make any playoff noise. Ja Morant averaged 18 points and 7 assists this season while making spectacular highlight plays all year long, so I don't see how this award is not unanimous for him. Sixth Man of the Year, this one's kind of tough. You got Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and Dennis Schroeder. To me, this one is very tough because, I mean, like, you got two guys on the Clippers who come in and produce so highly for that team. They're the energy off the bench with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. But in my opinion, Dennis Schroeder should win this award. Schroeder has helped the Thunder become a fifth seed in the West. And in the West, nobody expected these guys to even be in the playoff push once they traded Russell Westbrook and got rid of Paul George to the Clippers. Schroeder is averaging 19 points off the bench for the Thunder. And him, Chris Paul, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander make a great three-headed backcourt in Oklahoma City. So, I mean, this guy has done a lot for this team off the bench, and I feel like he's a great sixth man for them, and he should win their award. Now, I have a couple bubble awards to hand out. My bubble MVP as of right now is Damian Lillard. Devin Booker definitely made a push. He's definitely second on that list of bubble MVPs, but in my opinion, Damus has earned that title. He's playing at such a high level and is carrying the Blazers right into the playoffs, into that playoff game for the eighth seed. They're in the eighth seed right now. Lillard is averaging 37.3 points per game in the bubble, and has proved to me to be a top 10 player in the NBA. He definitely deserves to be in the consideration. He had a 61-point game this past game, and he had a 50-point game the night before that, after missing those two free throws against the Clippers. He showed that he deserves to be in that top 10 player list. My bubble most improved player, TJ Warren. Warren has stepped up tremendously for the Pacers and has given them big-time shooting and has given them big-time scoring. He has put up numbers like 53, 34, and 39 since entering bubble, and the Pacers are sitting at a fifth seed in the Eastern Conference and will have a chance to make a run in the playoffs and make some noise. My NBA bubble team, Dame Lillard is definitely on there, Devin Booker, James Harden, TJ Warren, and it has to be all guards for me, so I'm going to go with Luka as the fifth player because he's played a great amount of games and done exceptionally well in those games as well. As the season continues in the bowl, teams are coming back, and of course it's seeming that a lot of teams haven't really missed too many steps. We're not seeing full teams because a lot of guys are just either sitting out certain games to rest or they're not playing to full potential. But I like to see how the playoffs are going to come. In the Eastern Conference, most of the standings right now are pretty solidified. The matchups are there, so we know who plays each other. And the Western Conference will know by tomorrow, Friday, if not the latest Saturday, that what will be the ending standings for those guys. In the Eastern Conference, teams are looking just competitive as they were before. First, we're going to start off with the Bucks, who are the number one seed, have the best record in the league. The Bucks are looking just as good as they did before the bubble. Giannis, of course, is not Mr. Deep. He's in the MVP running, as we stated before, and is continuing his dominance in the league for the Bucks. Chris Middleton, who is his sidekick, is playing also as good. He's been shooting the ball exceptionally well for the Milwaukee Bucks, and they've clinched the 8-1 seed in the East and are sitting at 56-16 as we go into the last game or two before the bubble playoffs start. For the Raptors, who are sitting at number two, Toronto has been a team where many people had counted them out being this high in the rankings since Kawhi left for the Clippers. The Raptors are a team with guys who have grit and grind about themselves and are not scared to face any challenge. Starting with their two-headed backcourt, you got Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. These two guys have come up big for the Raptors night in and night out. VanVleet, who is averaging 17 points per game, and Lowry, who is averaging 19 points per game for these guys. Then you have up-and-coming transform superstar player Pascal Siakam, who is averaging 23 points per game this year for the Raptors. The Raptors are 51-19. They have a better record this record than they have last season when they had Kawhi Leonard. So the guys are still going to put up numbers night in and night out, and they're going to be a great team to play in the playoffs. They're going to be a tough matchup for anybody. And my opinion will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll just have to see how that goes. Next, at number three, we have Boston. Boston is a team that's definitely up and coming with a mix of youth and veterans. They have two young players who have definitely taken over the scoring for those guys, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Tatum is averaging 23 points per game for the Celtics and is coming into his own as the number one option for that team. Brown, who is doing it in both ends, averaging 21 points per game, is blossoming more and more into a scorer and a defensive player for the Celtics. Then their third leading scorer, you got Kemba Walker, who is coming into his first season with the Boston Celtics after they got rid of Kyrie Irving. He's averaging 20 points per game for the team. They sit at the number three spot as 48-23. They'll be the first team to have three players to average 20 points this season. At four, coming in, is Miami. Miami, of course, is a team that can be very competitive in the long run. I feel like this team is a sleeper team who can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll have to face the Bucks probably in the second round if they get past the Pacers. But they're led by a dog mentality player, Jimmy Butler. Butler, who was averaging 20 points per game this year, with 6 rebounds and 6 assists. Butler, who left Philadelphia, has came into Miami and brought a new culture for that team. They have had multiple players contribute in their success this season. Bam Adebayo, who is a most improved finalist, is averaging 16 points per game and 10 rebounds. They have had rookie step up in Kendrick Nunn, who was a rookie of the year finalist, as I stated before, and Tyler Harrell. Nunn, who is undrafted, is averaging 15 points per game. And Harrell, who is the Heat's first-round draft pick, is averaging 13 points per game, but has had spurts, like in the bubble now, where he had 30 points last night against the Thunder. Lastly, Duncan Robinson, who has emerged as a three-point shooter for the team, and he is averaging 13.6 points per game as well. Miami has put together a competitive squad and are sitting at 44-27 right now, and they're at the fourth spot. As number five, we have the Indiana Pacers. This Pacers team has been through a lot of ups and downs this season. First of all, of course, Victor Oladipo, who was injured last year, is just getting back to the scheme of things. But it may be hitting him just at the right time. He only played 18 games this season so far, but in those games, he's averaging 14 points a game. They signed point guard Malcolm Brogdon in the offseason, and he has made an impact by averaging 16.5 points a game and 7 assists per game. Since the bubble has restarted, we've seen the emergence of TJ Warren, and Warren has been a player that the Pacers have gone to late in games and also during scoring habits. He has put together multiple games scoring 20-plus since the restart. The Pacers are sitting at 43-28 and will look to face the Heat, as I said earlier, in the first round in the playoffs. At number six, we have the Philadelphia 76ers, who the Sixers have received heartbreaking news in the past couple days with injuries to Ben Simmons and also Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons' injury is probably bigger because he's out for the rest of the bubble with a knee injury. He has to have surgery. This is tough for them, who are trying to make a big push into the playoffs, but they'll have some guys who they can try to replace him with. The Sixers haven't played up to their standards this season, and I feel like they are missing a closer on their team that they have with Jimmy Butler. Simmons was averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds, and assists for the 76ers, and they were really playing cluttered because they didn't have enough shooting spacing or scoring on that team. Joel Embiid, who was averaging 23.5 points per game and 11 rebounds, were the two stars for the upcoming team. Al Horford, who was a big-time leader for those guys, played for the 76ers, but I feel like with those on the, with them three on the court, they didn't have enough spacing, as I said before. Simmons has to work on his outside shoot ability because with him not being able to shoot, he doesn't have to be guarded outside of 15 feet. The 76ers are 42-29 and will have a tough matchup in the playoffs as they face the Celtics in the first round. Coming in at number seven, you have the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets have experienced a lot of adversity in this season. First, of course, with the loss of Kyrie Irving, who was their star player, to a season-ending injury. Now coming into the bubble, multiple players have received viruses and opted out of playing the bubble, such as Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan. One player who has definitely showed out for them thus far in the bubble has been Caris LeVert. LeVert is definitely showing he's a scorer, can definitely impact the team in the future alongside KD and Kyrie. The Nets are the seventh seed, will face the Raptors as they sit at 35-36 in the first round of the playoffs. Coming in number eight, we have Orlando Magic. The Magic have been an average team throughout the season. Aaron Gordon is playing good, and Markel Fultz is growing more as a player as he stayed healthy for the most part this season. The loss of Jonathan Isaac will be big for them because he was a guy who had great potential in part of their young core and helping them guys grow as together as a team. Orlando sits at 32-34 and will face the Bucks in the first round, which will be tough for those guys as well. For the Western Conference, most of these standings are solidified. The 1-7 is pretty much there. Until we get to that 8th spot, that's when we have some craziness, as we have Portland in the 8th seed, and you have Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs all tied for the play-in game right now to face Portland, who has moved up in the bubble because of great play by Damian Lillard, of course. At number 1 seed, the Lakers clinched the number 1 seed back early in the bubble with a win. And they're sitting at 52-18 right now. To me, the Lakers haven't looked too great since entering the bubble. They're 3-4 since entering the bubble, and the team hasn't played like a complete team. LeBron hasn't played as MVP, in my opinion. He's the type of player who can take over games when he wants to. AD has played up and down games. He has games he go for 40 and games he go for 6, so you'd have to see what Anthony Davis you're going to get. The concerns for me comes in at defensive end, where the Lakers don't have a guard who can really defend guards that they have to play. With that first round, as of right now, just imagine if they play the Portland Trailblazers. who's going to guard Damian Lillard other than maybe Danny Green? You won't know. LeBron is averaging 25-10 this season. AD is averaging 26-9 this season. But then it's like, who's next for those guys? They want it to be Kuzma. And LeBron and AD have voiced their opinion and their faith in him, but he doesn't know which Kyle Kuzma you're going to get. Kuzma is averaging 12 points per game for these guys, and the Lakers want him to be the third option that I said before. These guys need more from guys like Danny Green, Alex Caruso, and newly acquired players Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith in order for them to be more successful in the playoffs. Coming in number two, you have the Clippers. The Clippers are sitting at 47-23 on the season, and they're 3-3 since entering the bubble and haven't been at full strength. Kawhi Leonard is averaging 27 points per game and 7 rebounds for the Clippers. Paul George is averaging 21 points per game. The Clippers, who have two of the best players off the bench, and Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, have a deep team with plenty of guys that can help them win. Once everyone gets healthy and plays to their full strength, we can see that they are a force to be reckoned with, and they're a deep team who probably will make it to the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion. They're a great team full of old stars and new stars, so we'll see how they can get the job done. Coming to number three, we have the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets has a young core with great potential for years to come. Starting with Nikola Jokic, Jokic is the star of his team, has come back to the bowl in better shape than regular season. He's averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds and has definitely been a leader amongst this team, who is sitting at 46-25. Jamal Murray, a starting guard, averaged 18.8 points per game for the Nuggets, and they have picked up some good pieces in the draft the past 2 years who have put together plenty of good games for the team. Michael Porter Jr., who's number one draft pick, was this past season. He's had plenty of 30-point games for this team entering the bubble. He's a great scorer. He was number one coming out of high school and just got injuries. I hope that he can stay healthy because he can do great things in this league. Bobo, who's 7'2", who could play the 3 through 5, has played good in the scrimmages for the team and done some incredible things for the team. The Nuggets can definitely have a deep team and will be deep for multiple years to come. They're waiting to get guard Gary Harris and guard Will Barton back off injury, but if they get them two guys back, they can definitely be a force to be reckoned with as well. Coming in at number four, the Rockets. Houston has entered the bubble and looking very dangerous behind the two-headed monster of James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Harden, of course, is the MVP finalist, has been sensational this season, and is probably the hardest person in the NBA to guard, probably the best scorer in the NBA right now, especially with the injuries to Kevin Durant. Harden is averaging 34 points a game, 7.5 assists this season. His running mate, Russell Westbrook, who we just got news is down for probably the first half of the first round due to a right quad strain, was averaging 27.2 points, 7 assists, and 8 rebounds a game. He was definitely playing good basketball. These two are leading the charge for Houston and are making their teammates play better throughout the bubble. Houston is now sitting at 44-26 and can be a definite force in that second round. At number five, you have the Thunder. Oklahoma City is a team who no one expected to be in this situation after the loss of Russell Westbrook to Houston and Paul George to the Clippers. But with great season leadership by Chris Paul and up-and-coming player Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they have been a team competing night in and night out. Chris Paul, who some say should be on the MVP ballot by the way he's carried this team, is averaging 18 points and 7 assists per game for the Thunder. Shai Gilgeous is averaging 19 points per game and 6 rebounds. Another contributor to this team is Dennis Schroeder, who I mentioned earlier as a sixth man of the year, is averaging 19 points off the bench for this team, and they have the Thunder at 43-27 in the fifth seed. Those guys compete hard every night, and with a guy like Chris Paul on your team, you never are out of the game. Coming in number six, you had a Utah Jazz. Jazz definitely has some ups and downs this season. The coronavirus situation in the locker room had a lot of people feeling their tension were between their two star players, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. The Jazz, who hold the sixth seed in the West at 43-28, are looking to make a push during the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell is averaging 24 points per game for this team, and Rudy Gobert is coming in next with 15 points, 13 rebounds. Mike Conley, who they signed this offseason, is averaging 14 points per game, but has battled injuries throughout the season, and I just wish he could get healthy so these guys can be at somewhat full strength. Coming in number seven, you have the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, Mavericks had their two great stars, Luka Doncic, who was drafted number five. They traded him to the Mavs and traded Trae Young to the Hawks. And then you have Porzingis, who you also traded for to the Knicks, to get Porzingis. Luka's averaging 29 and 9.5 rebounds and 9 assists for the team this season. He's played exceptionally well ball. Then you have Porzingis averaging 20 points per game and 9.5 rebounds per game for this team, who have sitting at 7th seed in the Western Conference with a 43-31 record. These guys are unbelievable talents from overseas, and they definitely can make a push at whoever they play in the first round, which right now it looks like the Clippers. That'll be a tough series for both guys because you have two scorers on both teams that can score it at will. Now, this is where it gets tricky in the bubble because you have the play-in series and you have the eighth seed. And basically, if anybody's in the ninth seed and they're a half game of the eighth seed, they have play-in series. Trailblazers, who has a half game over the three teams who are tied for ninth seed, the Grizzlies, the Suns, and Spurs. Portland, who has climbed back into the eighth seed because they were 10th and 11th seed back before the bubble started, has had great play from their all-star guard Damian Lillard and veteran Carmelo Anthony. It's crazy how people were trying to say Carmelo was washed and he isn't producing, but now he's producing at a high level because he's playing so great with these guys. Dame, on the other hand, has played exceptionally well, averaging 37.3 points a game for the bubble. He's carried this team, he's been the leader of this team, and he knows why he's here. He said the other day the job's not finished because they are looking to do more. Memphis, who is in the AFC entering the bubble, has kind of went into a downward spiral. Exceptionally with the loss of Jaren Jackson, who's playing well alongside John Morant this year, who's a rookie year candidate. Those two guys together were playing pretty good, and they were going to be a great matchup for whoever they had to play in the play-in series. Next, you have the Suns. Phoenix, who is the only undefeated team in the bubble as of now, has climbed their way up in the standings behind star guard Devin Booker. Booker, who's played at an all-time high level, had 30 points in every game this season in the bubble, and they're sitting at 7-0. They're tied with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Spurs. The Spurs, who are at the risk of not making the playoffs for the first time in a long time, are doing all they can and playing pretty well. They have won three straight games and are playing well behind DeMar DeRozan, who we know from Toronto was a great guard and a great player down there. He's brought it back down to San Antonio with Coach Greg Popovich, and they're trying to get back in their playoff potential. The excitement is definitely brewing fast in these last couple of days of the playoffs before the playoffs start. Playing games will probably be sometime this weekend because playoffs start August 17th. In my personal opinion, I would love to see Dame Dolla versus Devin Booker in that play-in series. These two guys have played exceptionally well, and in my opinion, are the two bubble MVPs. I feel like they proved the things night in, night out, that they should be the two teams in there because they play exceptionally well. We will see how these last couple games today go, and we'll see how the seeding is when I come back next week with another podcast. On that note, guys, I'm out. Everybody stay safe, stay blessed, and we'll be back next time on the Sideline Story. Much love. Peace.